to another episode of Anything Goes. Sorry it's been a while. We've had to wait for this guy to come all the way back from Japan. It's taken a while. It's Joe Launchbury, everyone!
Thanks for having me. They're excited to be here. Been waiting patiently for my turn, so they're excited to finally get the opportunity.
He's gone straight into media mode.
I know, yeah.
I feel like he's nervous. He hasn't been, you know, around this. He doesn't know what's going on, you know, now that Anything Goes boys are in town.
I couldn't think of a more fitting guest for the Christmas podcast.
We're calling it the Christmas Cracker.
What should we think? Do you want to call it the Christmas Cracker?
We have now.
And we've gone for it, have we?
That fits perfectly in tune with the Christmas Cracker game, which is Quinn's at home, and there's been over 21,000 tickets sold so far. So if you haven't got your tickets, please do. Tom Vale's giving us a big thumbs up. That's our media guy again. Yeah, he's absolutely buzzing about it.
One of the notable games in the calendar, isn't it, to be fair?
No, yeah, it's always a good one. Obviously, it's always a great turnout. The Rico is amazing to play at, especially at Christmas. The atmosphere is always electric, and yeah, looking forward to it.
It's always a cracker.
Oi!
That's what you're in for lunch.
Doesn't look too impressive, but that, does it?
I know.
No, obviously, Launch, it's great to have you back. Talk us through, obviously, World Cup. How was it out there? Obviously, great for England to get to final. Unlucky not to go, you know, the full way. Obviously, on your half, would like to have played more, but it must have been absolutely amazing to be out there and soak it all up.
Yeah, exactly that, really. Obviously, it's a long time away from home, a long time in camp, and you build some pretty special relationships when you spend that much time with people. So on that side, it was brilliant. I thought the experience was great. I thought Japan as a country was fantastic. I'd love to go back and sort of take my family there and really experience it. I thought it was a brilliant country to go and visit. And obviously, like you said, the rugby for huge parts went so well. And obviously, I think that disappointment will probably last for a long time, that we couldn't quite finish the job. But certainly as a whole, great experience.
Yeah, like you say, like obviously disappointing end to it, but do you think obviously at the moment it's still quite raw, but it's something that you look back on in years to come and be something that you're really proud of?
Well, I think we made no bones about the whole four-year process, right from when Eddie took over. We made no bones of being desperate to be the best team in the world, and everything was built towards that, the 2019 World Cup, and doing all we could to put ourselves in the position to win it. And I guess in so many ways we did exactly that, and we really built well and put ourselves in with a great chance of winning the tournament. But I guess to not quite win at that last hurdle will always be something which you've just missed out on, and will certainly rankle a bit amongst the squad. But I think we've got a really young team. We've got plenty of guys that are going to be around for a number of years to come, so a huge amount of excitement about English rugby, I think.
How was it, you know, building up to obviously quarter-final, semi-final, final? You don't really get them games in international rugby, so was it really special, and was there anything different that you noticed about them weeks building into them games where, you know, it's knockout rugby and that only happens once every 4 years, really?
I think in a way it helped massively that we were kind of away from it. A huge difference from 2015 to 2019 was the fact that we were away from sort of the public here, the expectation, maybe reading English media. I think it was almost a good thing for us that we were kind of distant and we could genuinely really worry about ourselves, the team, worry about what we were trying to do at the weekend. So although we knew there were massive games, of course we did, I think it benefited us that we kind of almost got to treat it as just another big game rather than maybe dress it up quite as the occasion maybe it was.
From the outside looking at it, and it looked like there was like a genuine closeness about like the England squad going into that World Cup. Is that something that they obviously put a particular like vision on, just making sure lads are close, and obviously the later you go into the tournament, the more like the trust, you're closer together, and obviously it bodes well going into like knockout rugby.
Yeah, we obviously know, don't we, from team sport, how important it is to sort of get on with the people around you and sort of make those relationships off the pitch, and that's something maybe you don't get international rugby. You normally fly in a week before the first test or the first game in the Six Nations or whatever the circumstance is, and you're expected to sort of pick it up where you left off and play that weekend. So it's sometimes quite hard to build on those relationships, but what I guess a World Cup does, it allows you to spend that huge amount of time with each other, maybe like you would do at a club, where maybe you're away from the pressure of trying to win at the weekend. You can train together, sort of, you obviously basically live together for 4 months in a hotel, so you do spend a lot of time with each other, and we made a huge, we put a big emphasis on that, trying to improve that. And so for someone like me, who maybe didn't play as much as I'd like, and maybe could have had quite a bit of frustration around that, I actually still felt such a huge part of it. I felt so involved, felt like I contributed to the squad, although I maybe wasn't playing. I think that was testament to maybe the work we'd done earlier on in the camp.
Who was your roommate for that? Did you have a roommate the whole way through, or did you change it, or was it, how was it?
That was part of it. I guess in the past I've tended to stick with the same roommate, so I've always tried to avoid the heavy snorers and stuff like that and stay with...
Or are they trying to avoid
they're
you?
They're probably trying to avoid me as well, to be fair. Yeah, I do get passed around quite a bit. But in the World Cup, they made a big emphasis to each week you change roommates. You got to know people that bit more, and obviously some people are better roommates than others. There's a lot of Fortnite being played in and around the room.
Any names, best and worst?
Obviously no names, of course not.
Oh, but... who?
Too nice for that. Far too nice for that.
But no, obviously that's part of it, isn't it? I think when we go away for a night or so, you find out a bit more, don't you, about people. So I know, I think all of it adds to, I think touring's pretty special in rugby. I know in the amateur game, people see it as extremely important to go away and tour. It's obviously slightly different, but the idea of still touring, it's still some of my favourite parts of rugby, going away and experiencing different countries.
Was there anything you took away from Japan culturally, or was there even maybe some Japanese sweets that you brought back for later on? Who knows, eh? He hasn't even listened to one, does he, so we don't know.
Well, I got briefed on it, but no, I thought culturally, I thought they were unbelievably nice people. I think you can learn a lot from how nice they are to each other and how nice they are to us, welcoming us to, as guests in their country. I thought that was something that stood out. Like I said, it's a great country to visit. In terms of sweets, nothing from Japan, but I've brought these lovely
chocolates. No, don't tell us yet. That's for later. No, obviously, well, I think everyone was so proud of you here, especially as a team and you know, as a club and all the fans and everything, I'm sure were as well, to have you out there. And obviously, like you said, we'd like to have seen you play more, but, you know, the part you played was absolutely amazing. You've also signed a new deal this year. He stays. The return of the king.
Return of the king. Do you want to talk us through that one? You demanded that.
I heard that. Apparently he's a big Lord of the Rings fan.
I've got to be careful what I say here, because the man who's produced the video is in the room. So.
You don't have to be careful. You say what you want. Let him know, Lord.
It's a small secret, I've never actually watched Lord of the Rings either, so it's kind of... the video fell on deaf ears slightly with me, but I enjoyed it. It was, I think for me, staying here was a pretty easy decision, really, in terms of being here for a long time. And whenever you come up for contract renewal, you always, of course, you have to think about your options and potentially where you are in your career, but it never really crossed my mind seriously anything but staying here. So, yeah, delighted to continue my stay and spend some more time with fantastic men like yourselves.
That is so kind.
Fantastic podcasters like yourself.
No, obviously, you could tell just seeing that news come out was a huge bolster. Bolster, is that a word?
Bolster.
Boost?
What is it?
It's a word,
boost?
But it's the wrong
word. Bolster is like upwards, isn't it? Bolster. Is that like a positive.
Isn't it like some sort of tool?
Well, you talk about bolster. Like, bolster.
Can we have a Google?
Can you talk to bolster?
You say like bolster your squad,
yeah,
don't you?
Yeah, bolster. Yeah.
So that is, was it the right word?
No.
You say
it's an English word, but it wasn't the right word.
I'd have gone with an English word.
And yeah, fair play.
Well, there you go, one all.
Welcome to dictionary.
Been eating dictionaries again. You're at dictionary in the last one.
Yeah. Yeah.
What was your word?
I don't know, it's better than bolster. No, carry on.
Yeah, no, saying how much of a positive impact that had just on the squad, knowing obviously that you're staying, obviously been captain the past few years, and knowing that you're staying, real positive impact on the squad as well. Obviously picked up a bit of a knock in the past couple of weeks, but looking forward to getting back out there and playing with you again.
Yeah, it's been frustrating, hasn't it? I've sort of desperate, obviously not been talked about there, not played too much in Japan, so I was desperate to come back and play as much as I can, but sometimes things don't work out, maybe how you plan in your head, and obviously frustrating to be on the side for a little bit now, but yeah, still plenty of games to play this year and looking forward to playing a part in all of them.
Coming back into Wasps, obviously coming back from a World Cup, is it just a case of, like you're saying, just looking forward to getting back on the pitch and getting back going? Obviously a few new faces that you probably haven't met yet, a little bit of a new look squad for us, looking to hit the ground running, but obviously a little bit disappointed to pick up an injury.
Yeah, I've kept trying to keep in touch with many guys whilst I was away.
That's weird, I didn't get any.
I think
Your phones must have been off, because I tried you both a lot. But
can't work in Japan, it mustn't come through. No.
No.
Any stingo, did they ban us in Japan?
Is that
why you hadn't listened to any of them yet?
Well, no, they didn't like the podcast in Japan, to be fair.
Can you give us some names? I want to check up
on this. Got some bad ratings in Japan. So yeah, so to get back in, obviously like we said, maybe results wise haven't been fantastic and where we'd want them to be, but I think the general, with boys have worked extremely hard, you can tell through the off season, it's been a long pre-season, and we're all pretty convinced that our time will come, and it's a tight league and we'll start turning some of these narrow losses into wins for sure.
Definitely. Also to bring up, we've got the WASC calendar 2020 has officially been released.
I know why you're excited about
yeah.
it.
Well, apparently.
Who's January?
Well, shall we take a look? for our listeners, drum roll please. Unfortunately, it's me, Josh Bassett.
It's off to a good start, isn't it?
No, terrible start. Liz looking horrendous.
Not happy with it?
Nah.
I'd say it's off to a flyer.
Would you?
And Pat Robertson in the background as
yeah,
well.
Classic Pato.
Got Teddy shorts on, haven't you?
Yeah. I think they must have shrunk in the wash. No, obviously that's being released this week.
It's out now.
It's actually out right now. So.
You haven't got one at home already?
Yeah, it's already up. But oh. I saved it for 20. It's a Christmas present. You've let my missus know.
Oh. Bass said he's going to sign this one.
I'm going to sign this one and we're going to do it as a giveaway. And we're also going to get Joe Launchbury and Tom Cruise to sign it.
Because we're also on
yeah,
it.
We'll just go and find our
no, we're not on it. Oh.
We'll get them to do the front cover so you see their name straight away. and we'll do it as a giveaway. So please, should we get everyone to...
What we'll do is we'll think of a question towards the to put out on social media, and the people who answer it right will pull your name out of the hat and you're up for grabs to win a signed official 2020 calendar.
Correct. Good idea, Tom Cruise.
Just like that, off the cuff. We're on fire today. Lots of winks and thumbs up from the media team.
So, Joe Launchbury, do you want me to do my, you know, I know everything about where everyone played, and
Wikipedia, is it?
Oh, damn it, how did you know? So, you in Harlequin's Academy?
Yeah, I correct. Believe.
Look, off my head, not even on my phone this time.
I didn't know that.
Started at Harlequin's Academy, then left there, went to Worthing.
Yeah.
Correct. Played a season first team rugby, featured in the WASC A League.
Yeah, same year.
A few times, and the coach was Phil Green.
Rhymes of.
No, what is it? Something like that.
Will Green.
There you go. And then he obviously said to get involved here with WASC was, you know, and then you just took your chance there. What was that like at that time coming into WASC at the A League? Obviously, you hadn't been involved in the academy. Was there any of the lads that were here that you play with at that time, or any lads that have been here?
Yeah, plenty of lads who've been in. No one who's still here now. But it was a strange time. Really, I kind of left school. My last year at school, I think I was at Harlequins and wanted to obviously push through there and play there. But for whatever reason, those things don't always work out how you wanted. And that year I had at Worthing was exactly what I needed at the time. I kind of didn't. No way did I like sort of fall out of enjoying playing rugby. But that year cemented for me that playing sort of men's rugby and the enjoyment I got that year was fantastic, and owe a lot to that club. And never knew at the time, but Will Green used to play here, prop here for many years through when the club won lots of trophies, a big part of their success. And I didn't know, but he sent a few of the guys down to watch me play. I think the forwards coach came down to watch me play a few times, and that was when the link really started. It kind of came out of nowhere, really. I was just planning to go travelling and go on a gap year and kind of maybe hoped that rugby was going to go somewhere, but never thought it would happen anywhere near as fast as it did. So yeah, it was strange, and then kept turning up here. I was that guy who occasionally we have now on a Monday night who turns up out of nowhere straight from work on the bus shaking hands with people on the way to games. So I think some of the senior guys then looked at me a bit like, God, who's this guy in your Sainsbury's kit after a full day at work in the bakery?
That was my next plug. He took that away from us. He knew where we was going with it. And it's literally just ripped out. You could see us getting so excited. I was like, bakery's got bakery.
Straight into an A-League game. So, yeah, I mean... Yeah.
Did you bring all the lads sausage rolls, muffins?
Josh, come on, I work there, but I'm not about that sort of diet. No, I don't condone it. I work there.
Hashtag game changers.
Of course, yeah.
No, so I had a real point, but he's thrown me with that. I gutted that bakery point.
Give us some names of lads that were here at the time. Because was Jeff the team manager?
Jeff, yeah. I mean, Jeff's been here slightly longer than me. Yeah. Just slightly. No, Jeff, the team manager then, so Jeff used to call me. I think they're a bit more organised now than maybe they used to be. He used to call me on a Saturday night after a Worthing game, so I'd normally be either in the bar celebrating with the lads there, or obviously the bar put a laugh on there. But he would call me late on a Saturday night and say, "Do you fancy a game Monday?" So I've just played for Worthing. I'm out, sort of having a beer, and then he calls me to play Monday. But
see, I had an excuse to dodge all them pies.
Yeah, straight home to bed. You'd never say no to those sort of offers when you're that age. And I love playing those first few years. I remember my first A League game. Remember playing against sort of Marco Bortolami and thinking, if that's as far as my career gets, I play an A League game against someone who I watch on TV, and that'd be brilliant for me. And obviously to go on and come and play here for a long time, it's probably definitely exceeded where I definitely thought I was going to get to.
And then you've done a pre-season with the Southern Kings,
yeah,
in South Africa.
They weren't called that then, but yeah, I know what you're getting at. But
what were they back in the day? Go on.
I've changed name a few times. They were the Eastern Province Kings then. They became the team. So I went there before I just started a day here. So Wass said, "You're probably best to not work at Sainsbury's anymore. Probably best to go and get some."
Zach at Sainsbury's profits.
That and my wayfinding mistake a bit of a hit. So they kind of said, "Go and spend 8 weeks out in South Africa just before you joined here." So the summer before I started pre-season, they sent me. I met Bob Baker in the airport, who was a prop here for a number of years. I met him in the airport and we went and sort of lived together for 8 weeks up there, and we got on extremely well and we had a fantastic time. Alan Solomons, who's now the head coach of Worcester, was the head coach at the club at the time, and he was good with us. He knew he couldn't really play us. He knew we were only there for a few weeks, so we didn't really get much game opportunity, but to train and sort of live like a professional for 6 weeks meant that rather than turn up here day one like a boy fresh out of school, which I was, I felt like I turned up here with a bit more understanding of kind of what it took. I think it helped me massively, and I think it's something which a lot of young players should do if they get the opportunity.
Yeah, I like that a lot. And then obviously came straight back into Wass that year. You featured in the LV, was it back then?
Yep.
Yeah, I can't, let me just check my notes. where is it?
Wikipedia.com.
I can't find it. But yeah, obviously that was the first year, came into the Wass first team properly. How was that first pre-season? Was it like you said, obviously that them six weeks out of South Africa helped?
Yeah.
But you know, was it a shock to the system having that year at Worthing and then coming into that obviously Wass at that time?
Yeah, well, when I turned up to that start of the pre-season, we had an unbelievably experienced pack at the time. We had a sort of guys like Tim Payne, Phil Vickery, Steve Thompson was here, Simon Shaw, Richard Burkett, Danwell Smith, Tom Reith, John Hart, loads of guys have been here for years, huge parts of the club, and learning off them in pre-season was fantastic. I was eager to soak up as much as I could. Unfortunately, for a number of different reasons, a lot of those guys didn't actually then end up playing that season. A couple of guys left, and unfortunately a few more of them retired through injury. So we went from having this pack full of international experience and quality to unfortunately being left with not too many. So although not great for Wass in lots of ways, it was brilliant for guys like, I guess, like guys like me and Sam Jones and other young English forwards who were there at the time to get an opportunity to play. So I played a few games at the start of the year at Rosin Park on loan again, but came back just in time to play in that LV game, which was out in Abu Dhabi actually, which was an experience in itself. Shocked me as to, I thought that was what professional rugby was about, but I learned pretty quickly that it wasn't. But that was a bit of an eye-opening experience.
Without putting words in your mouth here, obviously that season you pick up injuries and people, like say, people had to retire or people leave the club, it opens up the door for a bit of youth. This year, with looking at the squad we have, you've seen like Jacob come in and play a few games, Gabes has come in, Will Porter now, and so on. Spinky got his debut the other day. Obviously, do you see a bit of those sort of opportunities arising for these lads as well? Because I know I look at it and I see a real good span of young lads coming through.
Yeah, I think I see so many similarities of that now. Maybe less so because there's opportunities in the first team. I still think there's obviously a core squad which we have here, but I think to have that strength of depth of young players who are all, they all seem like they're such good mates as well, which I think is so important. I think they all get on really well, they all push each other hard in training. And I think the secret for us, I guess, as a club now is you want to keep as many of those guys as the core, and they're the guys who maybe in 5-10 years time the club's going to mean that much to them, and they'll hopefully then be the sort of the centre of the team. And I think I mean, if you look at maybe all sports teams across all sports, and they're usually the successful ones, the ones who you can, guys who can maybe invest into the club that bit more, and we certainly have a talented group at the moment, and I guess that's a pretty exciting thing for us.
Obviously it was, then you've gone on to play for England. I've got a little game for you here. Do you know how many tries you've scored internationally?
Four. Three.
Close.
Five then.
Correct. Well done, if you can. Can you name the venues of which you've scored at?
Scored at Twickenham. I reckon they've all at Twickenham.
All at Twickenham, yeah. Correct. Can you name the teams you've scored against?
Not one for an away game, is it?
No.
Don't like
him. Keep him on the bus. Keep him on the bus.
God, definitely Argentina.
First one.
New Zealand.
Can you give me the year, Argentina?
I think I scored two against Argentina, right? Two.
No, not two against Argentina.
Yeah, Argentina, New Zealand. Italy?
Nope.
Good game, Josh.
Well, sorry you don't know how many scored you tried. Very close to New Zealand. Pretty close to New Zealand.
Rams of EG.
Is that dictionary corner again, isn't it?
Tonga.
Yeah. Yeah, so obviously, yeah.
Two against Fiji, and the last one. The most recent?
What year was that?
What's the most recent?
What year was that?
Scotland, last Six Nations.
Yes, 2019. Yeah,
there you go.
Well, there you go.
What a beauty.
Prolific,
it was.
Eh?
Prolific. Hey, five more than me, mate.
I actually think I've potentially scored more tries than I have here. Because I don't score tries here.
Quick,
that
we'll
would
just,
be a great fact.
Tom Vale's going to do some quick typing in.
If not, it's extremely close. I don't think
I know you've scored two. I've got two in my head.
I'm more of an assister.
Worcester away first game of the season last year, and did you score against Connacht at home?
No,
you did.
Connacht
did.
Oh no, you've got
eight,
nine. Cruzy's doing well.
Sweet eyes, bro.
You're doing really well.
Oh dear.
Shall we go on to? Yes, the most anticipated game in the podcasting world. No, ever in that. No.
Yeah. I want you to use the new word that you used last game.
Confectionery, yeah.
Such a good word.
The most anticipated confectionery podcasting game there is, it's Get Your Sweets Out.
you absolutely butchered that.
Have I changed the name of it again?
Yeah.
I like it.
You said you were going to use confectionery and then get your sweets out.
Get your confectionery out.
Yeah.
So, Lawrence, do you want to explain to us why there are no sweets from Japan here?
Well, the viewers at home won't believe this for one second, but this is actually not been that well organised. I haven't been told in any advance that I needed to bring in sweets until about 30 minutes before I came into the room. Maybe an hour, but
maybe 4 hours.
But
you
I do,
said you were going to go to the shop.
Well, I've been training, funnily enough.
You're at the
time to fawn off the supermarket mid training day.
Offered to help.
So I've actually brought something even better.
Would you like to tell us what?
I brought some home baked treats for us.
From
our absolute super fans and legends, Chris and Paula. They are the nicest people, and they are the sort of thing which we as players we probably take for granted a little bit. But I think in the professional environment, to have people like Chris and Paula, who, for those who don't know, Chris and Paula for every single game will come and stand outside the bus, home and away, rain or shine, in England, away in Europe, they're no matter what. And they never ask for anything, they never ask for signed shirts, they never ask for anything. They are literally, they're brilliant people, and they obviously care massively about the club. And every Christmas and birthday, they'll make you a little card, and they've also made these lovely little golden chocolate coins with a WASP logo on. So
thank you to Chris and Paula, who's played on our heartstrings there.
Massively. Yeah, she met us on the bus, as we were getting onto the bus in Edinburgh. So they obviously came to the trip to Edinburgh and they said see you next week. So like Lawrence said, they come home and away and they absolutely live for it. So let's see what these chocolates are all about.
Yeah,
shall
let's
we?
Get a chocolate coin in.
I don't eat chocolate coins, I'm far too healthy for that. You can have them though.
All right, cheers Lawrence.
Says the baker. No.
You've just got two.
Oh, it's white chocolate. I wasn't expecting that.
You can tell he's not watching the podcast.
Honestly, I'm so gutted. I thought he was going to be the Christmas cracker. And it's when you pull your cracker and it doesn't bang, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Well, there's no toy, or no pants.
Once again, a lack of information and organisation.
Yeah, because we anticipated, you know, club members to listen, to really buy into the pod, and which everyone else has. Hashtag share your sting, you know? But Joe Launchbury.
One thing it means, though, is all our listeners aren't actually people from, like, players, which means that...
That is positive, yeah.
Yeah, that is a positive, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, imagine how many listeners we'd have. We'd have at least, like, 50.
Yeah, you'd probably double it,
wouldn't
you?
Yeah. Nasty as well. Nasty.
You nasty pasty. No, appearance, I've got to go, you know, it's a gold coin, it's nice, and with that WASP logo pushing through, I think that's a 10.
Yeah, isn't agree.
It? 10. And then... Like launches has freshly ruined the surprise. It's white chocolate, which I wouldn't have guessed. So, you know, I'm ready for it. So.
What are you? Are you white chocolate, milk chocolate, dark chocolate, man?
Ooh,
all three.
Yeah, I'd go. I'd go white and milk personally. Dark's
picking two, right?
Yeah, dark's not for me.
I'm milk.
Ooh,
yeah,
interesting.
But I like white.
Well, let's see.
I think we all agree that dark's the worst, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Too healthy.
Too far too healthy.
Sorry, Chris Lowe.
Let's cheers.
Cheers.
Sweet enthusiasm lunch. Yeah. It's literally like. It's really.
One thing, you know, about chocolate is, if you didn't know, I did take Food Tech A level, is that when you temper chocolate, if you go past a certain degree, it actually loses its shine, which they haven't done. So,
what degree?
It would be. You might have to Google this.
What grade did you get there?
Doesn't matter.
You might have to Google. I won MasterChef at my school.
It rhymes with B, or it's
genuine,
actually B.
Genuine, I won MasterChef at my school. Genuine. Honestly.
You had a MasterChef at your school?
Yeah, and I won it. So, how'd you like them apples? In a tart tassan? Yeah, we'll go there. I think it's 72 degrees. I don't want to show off or anything, but no. So yeah, they've tempered it perfectly. Tastes delicious. Joe Launchbury's pulled on my heartstring, so it's 10 for me.
Do you want me to give you something it compares to? Caramac.
Yeah.
Have you had a Caramac?
Yes.
Yeah. Silly question.
They look like Caramac.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
The only problem with a Caramac is it's not very big. You're going to buy two or three Caramacs, aren't you, if you're going to have a Caramac?
Apparently.
Just me. Class.
No. Absolutely delicious. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Chris and Paula.
Big shout. Sure, treats are welcome, aren't they?
Please send them in to tombale@wasp.co.uk. Send your emails in if you want to send sweets in. He's really looking forward to his inbox being full now. No, thank you again. They're absolutely delicious. And... keep supporting Watts.
What, you're writing out? Buy a Caramac on my own.
It's probably Greg's order in.
Two steak bakes.
That new Greg's on the way home from training is going to be a killer for the lads. Absolute killer.
So are we going straight into either or? You've wrote them down.
Yeah, but you have to buy me some time.
How would you like me to buy it?
But what, have you learned anything new on the...
on the saxophone. I forgot to also say earlier, the Christmas cracker, there'll be a saxophone. yeah, I can play us a quick little interlude if you like.
I'd like that a lot.
What's going on?
So, I launched, don't know if you know.
So basically, whilst you're trying to organise the next event, because you've not organised it before the interview, you're doing...
You know when I said...
It's not an interview, you're just having a chat. Oh. Three pals.
You know when I said the sweets... You know when I said the sweets were most anticipated? It's actually not. It's my saxophone solo each podcast. So I learned the saxophone for 6 weeks.
Just to do it on the shirt?
No, it's back in school.
You're busy really at school, aren't
you? Give me a tune and I'll play it for you. Genuine.
What do you mean?
I'll play the saxophone right now for you.
All right.
What about the White Stripes Seven Nation Army?
I ain't going to be able to play that.
What about something like Christmassy?
I feel really nervous about this.
Come on, you've got this. Come on, you've got it.
Um. Just you know, something I practiced earlier, but can you guess what the tune was?
Oh, I wish you.
Correct. So,
yeah.
What do you think about our saxophone ability launch?
Yeah, it needs a bit of work.
Oh, well. He's been a negative Nancy today.
He can be a little bit like that.
So we're going to go into our favourite game of either or. Is he ready?
Yeah, I am ready. But
are you sure?
But we've got two favourite games. I'm happy to. I like the Swedish game, but either or.
I thought they were equal.
Second one. Oh, that's nice of you. That.
Yeah.
Really nice.
No, so we're going to our second favourite game of either or. Joe Launchbury, what you do is Cruise will give you two options, you have to pick one basically. Pretty straightforward.
Quick fire, don't overthink it. Okay? Right, we'll get straight into it. Pen or paper?
Pen.
Water or juice?
Water.
Chocolate or sweets?
Chocolate.
Beer or lager?
Lager.
Chris or Tom?
Chris.
Under or armour?
Armour.
Oh.
Table or chair?
Table.
Greg's or Subway?
Both.
Cruz or Bassett?
Neither.
Oh! Oh, honestly, I had money on that I was going to pull one back.
I thought you were going to pull one back. We've never had neither. We've had a both.
Yeah.
But we've never had neither.
I wanted to do both, but I did both of the one before. I thought it'd been boring. So.
Yeah.
Oh, fair play.
So it's still 3-1 to Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Everyone hates me.
Really?
Absolutely.
Why do you sound so surprised?
But what if many things don't?
Yeah, shout outs.
But
what's been your team definitely didn't pick the pictures.
There's pictures of you up all around the stadium as well. At the moment, you're at the front of the stadium, outside the shop, the calendar, and on the billboard.
Where are you, Tom?
Just on the billboard.
Where are you, Launch?
Just here.
Live on Anything Goes. Don't forget to tune in next week. No, thank you very much, Launch, for having you in. Obviously, it's great to have you back. Like I said earlier, everyone here was so proud of you going to the World Cup and what you did over there. It's great to have you back. Great to have you, you know, signed a new deal. And thank you for coming on. Anything goes.
Anything goes. Yeah, thanks for coming, mate. It's much appreciated. Just for the people listening, remember to share this thing. We'll try and get one out more regularly. We've had a busy couple of weeks, haven't we?
Yeah.
A few weeks.
Very busy.
Bass with his saxophone lessons and whatnot. So, remember to share this thing. Any feedback, welcome. Give us any feedback on the next guest, and we'll see if we can get them on. And remember to have a look in the shop for the official calendar, and have a look on social media for the question. We'll get it fired out, and we will get a signed calendar out for the winner.
Absolutely seamless. Cheers, guys.
Seamless.
Thanks for having me.
Just rolls off your tongue.
And don't forget,
Anything goes.